B-Pod Studios.
Basically his best. Mm-hmm. Ending-wise, far from.
And he lost.
David Tyree.
So this guy is established. I agree with you. He's the greatest athlete ever. And I'm not a fan. It's the truth. The next step I want to go to is a Nick Foles situation, man. You know, here's what I think. I think Foles is a very smart guy to realize that this system fits him. I think that's probably why, because systems do a lot for quarterbacks or position in general. I mean, I think Wentz, like most of you guys, is great across the board. He's just young. But I think Foles has been around, you know, I mean, when he had that first success with the Eagles, he got fooled himself a little bit. He struggled the next season. He went to another team. So I think he's known. He knows now, hey, this fits me. I mean, I know I can work within this. You put me outside of this, I may be out of my comfort zone. It reminds me a lot. Again, I'm in Dallas, diehard Eagles fan. But it reminds me a lot of the Jason Garrett offensive coordinator when Wade Phillips was quarterback. Remember, Dolphins were throwing crazy money at Garrett?
Uh-huh.
Garrett's a Princeton guy. Garrett knew, okay, I can't go anywhere else and operate like this. I'm cool right here. I can be a puppet here.
Brian, I understand. Not to cut you off. I'm sorry, but I think it's just such a different time, and I always say this, but it's not easy to play quarterback in the NFL, blah, blah, blah. But
right.
It's never been easier to play quarterback in the NFL, and I do believe Nick Foles has greatly improved since his first go-around certainly since his time with the Rams. So I think he can go out somewhere else and be successful.
His improvement, you're right. I can't argue with anything you just said, but I do think to some degree he knows I can't just go anywhere else and perform the way I am now. You know, I think he may be a little gunshot. But now my last point, I want to go to Wentz and golf.
Go ahead, real quick.
That. Real fast. All right. My thing has always been, when you talk about positions, make all things equal. Can you imagine, everybody's out here to compare Wentz and golf. Imagine if Wentz could hand the ball off to Gurley.
Exactly.
Imagine if Wentz had a Donaldson on his defensive line and a Dominican suit. You mean to tell me this guy couldn't be have the same success as golf is? I doubt that very seriously.
No, that's why I'm saying, Brian, thanks for the call. That's why I'm saying that you need to go offense with your first pick. Like we were talking with our caller earlier. You need to focus on the offense because, most importantly, you need a running back in this offense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody across the league was thinking about shutting down the Eagles' running attack. Like, no one's like, oh, how do I stop Josh Adams?
I got a text yesterday. It was, how did Howie miss out on C.J. Anderson? And I went,
right.
In hindsight, it's a fair point. I mean, the guy looked overweight, but he's produced for three straight weeks.
He doesn't
now.
Just look overweight.
Yeah, he's a bully ball.
He gives all us fat guys a chance in hell.
But it's almost like, you know, Gurley's there on the side. C.J. Anderson's having success. You know, it's like some of these guys out of nowhere. The Saints fill in with Williams. Mm. He looks great. It's like,
look at Sonny Michel with New England.
Yeah, so at times I'm like, yeah, maybe they do need to invest in the running back. But at other times I'm like, I don't think they do.
Yeah. 8 o'clock hour, by the way, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com here on 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios. As promised, Trey, I said that we were going to play these cuts for you of the play-by-play from the call in New Orleans, where they did not. They failed to see pass interference in the Saints-Rams game for the NFC title. You had the play late in the fourth quarter in regulation here. Late in the fourth quarter, no pass interference called on Nickell Robey Coleman. It was Tommy Lee Lewis trying to make the reception, got hit early. No call was made. Here's the play-by-play shortly after the two-minute warning in NOLA.
Third down and 10, Breeze from the gun, takes the snap, goes to the near side, hit early. Where's the flag?
You don't get one.
Early hit on Tommy Lee. Sean Payton is all the way down at the 10. Unbelievable no call.
Wow, not a flag to be found.
Unbelievable.
That's the second time. You can't challenge it. I mean, he doesn't even look for the ball.
Nickell Robey Coleman.
That's the second time Nickell Robey Coleman has gotten away with a play like that.
He is 4 yards before the ball is there.
Can you imagine that in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
I love that. Jamie, give it to me one more time here. Listening in the background, you can hear other people in the booth freaking out.
Third down and 10, Breeze from the gun, takes the snap, goes to the near side, hit early. Where's the flag?
You don't get one.
Early hit on Tommy Lee. Sean Payton is all the way down at the 10. Unbelievable no call.
It sounds like Lil Jon is in the background.
That's what?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's what you hear his goblet. What do you call that? What did I forget? The
pimp cup?
Thank you very much. Yeah. I forgot the proper title. But yeah, you can hear that in the background. So then they have the post-game show on the radio program down in New Orleans, right? And they have that post-game show as every station does, right? And they go on and they talk about a little conspiracy theory. Here is former Saints quarterback Bobby Hebert.
On the wounds?
Oh, no, Christian, I might have a heart attack.
Okay, I'm just seeing this on social media, and apparently the back judge, Todd Prukop, guess where he lives?
Don't tell me he lives in California.
He lives in Los Angeles.
Damn! Oh, the fix is on. The damn referee didn't make the call. He lives in Los Angeles. Or you got to be freaking kidding me. Right then, this guy got to go. That son of a gun.
Woo. I just sat up here and said, I don't believe in conspiracies, but when I see that, and I've seen it a couple years ago,
I might start cussing.
First off, that's Bobby Hebert.
Hold your tongue.
How old is Bobby Hebert now?
He's probably, what, late 40s?
He sounds like he's 110.
No, he's got it. Doesn't he have to be a little older than that?
Bobby not really.
I would assume he's above 40.
I think late 40s. I don't think he's in his 50s.
I would say 50s. I'd have to double check.
I do like cussing.
That's not.
Yeah, I'm about to start cussing.
When somebody says I'm about to start
he's
cussing,
58.
Told you.
Yeah. God, I'm old.
Dude, probably like the 80s.
Yeah. He's like Phil Simms. In the 90s.
58.
I think he squeaked into the 90s. I don't know. Probably. I don't know. But I remember mostly.
Just, I'm old. So he's old.
Yeah. We're old as hell. Let me tell you.
Stop looking at me, Trey. Oh, my God.
Now this is going to bother me. But in all seriousness, the conspiracy theories start down there. And I was even thinking of a conspiracy theory, but I think it's even more logical than just the referee being from California. Okay? Because you can, like, seriously, like, nice work, Columbo.
Yeah.
But
from L.A.
But is he from L.A.?
Yeah, he's from L.A. He lives in L.A.
See, now you are a real-life Columbo. So that's
what he said. He said he lives in LA.
So he lives in Los Angeles. Okay.
The team just moved there a year ago.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, his whole allegiance or whatever of a referee has been, his whole credibility as a referee has been thrown out the window because this team moved to Los Angeles and now he's rooting for him and he's not going to make a call.
Yes. Well,
that's where it is.
No.
Understandable.
The bigger conspiracy theory is that no one gives a rat's ass. And one of my favorite things is on social media, you see the videos. I saw one video of LA fans watching the game at like some coffee shop bar or whatever.
Yeah.
And the game's on TV.
It was a weed shop.
It was a weed shop?
Probably. Well, then never mind. Because I was going to say, the place looked familiar. I thought I'd been there when I was in L.A.
Okay, but
nah, it probably was.
No. I don't do the weed shop. You know that.
If it was the weed shop, it would explain why everyone was so subdued. So they watched the game-winning field goal. They watched the Rams kick the game-winning field goal in L.A. And these people are at the bar, and they're just like,
awesome.
Literally,
dude.
You hear a woman in the background go, was that the game? And I was like, wow.
And then she's like, this double soy latte, I don't think it's nuts.
Not only did they take one team there, they doubled down and took two.
Yeah, they robbed the good people of San Diego. Oh. Those poor people, even though it was the owner that moved them out. But whatever, you know what I'm saying. Ass. Exactly. So you watch that and you go, wow, this really doesn't matter to them. What's that like to have a sports team and just nobody? They're in a champion, the pivotal game. And nothing happens. Speaking of which, the Flyers have won 3 in a row, so now they're on a hot streak. The Flyers.
Oh, Bob. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
The Flyers,
I
3
you
in
said
a row.
Kick the tires or something.
Flyers have won 3 in a row.
Carter Hart's pretty good.
He's been in net for all 3 games, goals against of 3 for the young netminder, not too shabby. 610-632-0975. Let's get to Philip in Germantown. You're on 975 The Fanatic. Yo, Philip.
Yeah, how you doing this morning?
Good, buddy.
You know, I wanted to contest your theory on Tom Brady being the greatest athlete ever. I don't even think he's the greatest quarterback ever. No, I don't.
I can't wait to hear this.
And I love the fact that I think it was the previous caller at the end of the call, you made the point on why I think he's not the greatest quarterback. You said that it's easier to play quarterback now than it's ever been. Now, how could you? I think John Elway is actually the best quarterback ever. Now, to me, like, if Elway or Unitas or any of those quarterbacks of the past was to play under today's
rules. Yeah, sure, but they're not going to. So let's go with what is and not what if.
No, I'm making my point. You make your point, I'm making my point.
Go for it.
I, I think if they play under these today's rules,
right,
where you can't manhandle the wide receiver, when just like last night when they did the John Cena, you can't see me in front of the quarterback's eyes, and that's a penalty. You know what I'm saying? If they were able to do that back then, what would these guys have been able to accomplish?
Sure, Philip. But in that case, Johnny Unitas is the greatest ever.
Well, I think Elway is.
John Elway can't carry Johnny Unitas' jockstrap. How about that? He'd be playing in Johnny Unitas' era.
Well, you can be as humorous as you will.
I'm actually being dead serious. Johnny Unitas played in an era where offensive linemen couldn't even extend their arms.
But my point is, I think Elway is the best, and I also think Unitas, if not, I think those two are even the best. For me, I don't think Tom Brady is.
Philip, what your argument is that they could put up numbers in this time. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Would they have won all these championships? Because what I'm saying is the guys that you're talking about played during that era. Okay, that's what it was. If they were as great as Tom Brady was as leading his team to championships, they would have done it no matter the rules.
But just like some argument I was having last night with some dude on Twitter, that's a team accomplishment. That's a team accomplishment going to the Super Bowl.
The team constantly changes. The quarterback remains.
But look at the AFC least, as they call it. You think that's not an easy path to having the number one seed when you play these poor teams six times a year?
Yeah, they've been doing it for 18 years.
And look at their success.
Yeah.
And I truly believe Bill Belichick is absolutely the best coach ever. I truly believe that.
Yeah, but Philip, here's the problem in your argument, and I've thought about your argument. I mean, anyone who is trying to present this argument has thought about the way you're coming from, which is, oh, this era. And I get that. But that's still a fantasy. That's not reality. Because your argument starts with if. That's not a good argument.
These guys can't do that.
No, but you don't know that because we will never be able to invent a time machine and have Tom Brady play in the 80s.
And it's not like he's strictly this new era. Tom Brady's been in the league since before iPhones.
Yes.
Like, no lie. Yeah. He's done this for 20 years. Yes. This isn't a flash in the pan new era NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and I gave my man plenty of time, by the way. That was 3 minutes. I let him get his argument out, so I don't want to hear anybody say I hung up on him. I don't hear say I hung up on him. I brought up against it anyway, but the argument can't be what if. Like, we can talk about that. You argue about the ifs, right? But if you're talking about what is, I've never seen an athlete like Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Consistently winning, putting up numbers, and just bringing in ninth championship. This is a ninth Super Bowl for him. He's already won five. Are you serious?
Yeah.
And I love going back, reading stuff, watching stuff with Johnny Unitas and all that stuff. And if you talk about any era, watch a guy, take him out of his era, put him in yours so you can watch him play in his prime. I would most want to watch Johnny Unitas play quarterback in the NFL today. That's what I would want to go back and see. But I can't do that.
Yeah.
It's a nice fantasy. As a sports fan, nice fantasy.
I always just wonder, like, all right, Tom Brady is dominating this era with championships. Well, okay, you're some of the greatest ever. Why wasn't there domination?
Right.
Like, you know, you're only playing under the rules you know.
Otto Graham. That Otto Graham character.
You loved Otto.
No, I don't know.
You have an Otto Graham jersey.
I wouldn't go that far. 610-632-0975. Sam, where are we at in our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation?
Today we asked, would you be in favor of more replay in the NFL? We have just under 1,700 votes so far. 63% say yes.
63%. Does it say the same since the last hour?
I think it dropped two.
Dropped two. Yes. How about that? 610-632-0975. Coming up, Tony Romo might have actually helped us out a little bit here in Philadelphia last night when it comes to a guy named Bryce Harper. Time at the Fanatic is 8:13.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. 8:22 on the Fanatic Morning Show. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas with you. 610-632-0975. Coming up, like I said, we'll have even more Super Bowl information to release to you, including some more things going on at the party at the Met, where you can party with us Friday before the Super Bowl, February 1st at the Met on North Broad, right in Philadelphia. I was just drove by the Met yesterday. Beautiful building.
It is.
The exterior, it's just gorgeous. Then you go inside.
It's almost too nice for us.
It is. They're slumming it with us is what they're doing.
Yeah.
But we got some great tailgate things that we're going to be have going on there. I came to this realization a while ago. And it has to do with Tony Romo. And you know what, Sam? I know we just got the Uber Eats McDonald's delivery. But we got to change this poll up a little bit here because I'm curious to see how Philadelphia votes on this. It has to do with Tony Romo, the broadcaster. Sam, do you have the question?
Yes, I just put it up and I asked, do you love Tony Romo as a broadcaster?
You use the word love?
Yes.
All right, I would have gone like. I would have said strong relationship.
We could change it.
We could change it.
Yeah, let's change it real quick. Because I don't want to make people say they love Tony Romo.
Well, out of the 5 votes that we already had, it was 80% said yes.
Okay, 80. Wow, okay. So people can...
It's almost 4 out of 5.
So people can...
It's like a dentist survey.
There you go. It's almost...
4 out of 5, recommend.
It's almost scientific. So here's what I have come to the realization with Tony Romo. And I thought I might change this as the season went on. But I am still exactly where I was at the beginning of the year with Tony Romo going into his second season as a broadcaster. I think that Tony Romo is a great broadcaster. I think he's a great announcer. I think he's a great color analyst. I think he does a phenomenal job. Professionally speaking, I think he just needs to calm down just a little bit.
What do you mean, calm down on what?
Just a little calm down.
Calm down on what?
Like, before the play happens, the prediction and all that, I know that's very controversial for some people. Uh-huh. I saw somebody tweet me last night saying that it's like going to see a movie with a friend that that's already seen the movie, mm-hmm. and they're telling you what happens before it happens. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that. Like, he's pointing out to me what you could see. There was one specific instance, I believe it was in the fourth quarter before Rob Gronkowski got a key fourth down conversion.
Yeah, he nailed it.
He said, watch, if this safety comes down a little bit, he's going to go to Gronk.
He circled Gronk and said, here he is, and one-on-one.
Safety took 3 steps down. He made the play.
He did the same thing on the rushing touchdown in the fourth quarter as well. Brady killed it at the line. He goes, oh, he killed. Now watch the motion here. Come across. Run to the right side. Boom. Touchdown. And I was like, damn, that was impressive.
Yes. And he even showed when he was going to run to the left side of the backfield. He was like, hey, man, this has been open all day.
He did it throughout the game.
Yeah.
And he's done it throughout his 2-year stint as a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. And it's been great to watch. The thing that I you asked me about calming down. Yeah, just you don't have to be that excited about the fact that you're about to be right. Like, just like,
who wouldn't easy, want to be
easy,
right?
Easy delivery. Like, when there's a fumble on the field, like you're not about to jump on the field and pick it up. And that's still what it feels like. It's like, it gives me agita listening to this guy sometimes. But personally speaking, again, professionally, I think that's the one little critique I'd give him. Other than that, everything's phenomenal. Personally, I'm still not at a point where I can listen to him do an Eagles game. And the reason is I can't take Tony Romo critiquing my team. That is still the one, and I admit, total and complete bias.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take him saying, oh, well, Zach Ertz needs to do a better job cutting there. Or Carson Wentz needs to hit the guy there. Or Nick Foles needs to hit the guy here. I still can't take him critiquing the Eagles. It's the one thing I still can't get over with Tony Romo yet.
I was listening to you guys earlier, Jamie, and you were saying that what kind of coach he should be?
I said defensive coordinator at first, and then I was like, nah, that's kind of, he should be a head coach.
Huh.
But he should be a defensive coordinator. If he's 2 steps ahead of everybody else, then he would be a phenomenal coach. Right?
I agree with that.
I saw Stephen A. tweet something to that effect.
Yeah, like, I mean, he was literally calling out Andy Reid and Bill Belichick's plays before the defense on the field knew what was happening.
Man.
That has to translate to being a good coach. It has to.
Yes.
You would think so.
I could listen to him 24/7 call a football game. I don't care if it's the Eagles. I don't care who's playing. If it's the Cowboys and he's gloating about them. I loved him last year, and I love him this year.
Yeah, he's good at it.
I think he is phenomenal.
Last year, I really liked his excitement and his energy level, and I thought it was great and all that. This year, I'm like, oh, okay, Tony, take it back just a little bit. And then I thought I would be at a point where I could listen to him do an Eagles game, but it's something about still that he's Tony Romo, and still in my head he's a Cowboy and all that. I still can't get it out of my – it still irks me when he will critique a play by the Eagles.
But are you
even if I'm saying the same thing he's saying, I'm just like, shut up, Tony.
But are you okay with Troy Aikman and Joe Buck?
I have gotten used to Troy. Oh, I love Joe Buck. I think Joe Buck's great. And Troy Aikman, I think, does a great job as well.
Uh-huh.
And I like sometimes, like yesterday, there was a little thing that Joe Buck pointed out to Troy Aikman that sounded like a little, it didn't sound like a dig, but it sounded as if Troy like snapped back at Joe for pointing it out. And I think there's a little, I don't know what's going on in that booth, but I get the sense that those guys aren't best buddies. Not that they don't like each other. Mm-hmm. Nothing like that. But sometimes there's a little one-up
digs
thing.
Every now and then.
A little. I don't even want to make it seem like it's throughout the broadcast. Mm-hmm. But there's a little one-upsmanship.
A little. I played the game. You didn't. Maybe.
Possibly.
Okay.
But where Joe still wants to prove that he knows the game. Like, hey, I didn't play. But what you just said was stupid. You know, something to that effect.
Hmm.
Again, not that they're enemies or they don't like each other, but it's not. You know, the bestest of friends. They're not besties, wow. as some of the kids might say.
Not having slumber parties or anything, you know?
Maybe one slumber party. Maybe as part of the production meeting, that's what they do.
Okay.
Stephen A. Smith tweeting this out last night, got 20,000 retweets. Stephen A., 3.9 million followers. You know what? The coach that needed to be hired in the NFL is Tony Romo. Listen to this man, pure football genius. He's calling, literally calling, plays before they happen.
My tweet was better. I had a GIF involved, and I didn't get 20,000 retweets.
Oh, what was your GIF?
Mind-blowing, like, thought, you know, Tim and Eric's awesome show when he has a mind-blowing
sure.
thought. And
yeah,
like,
that's a good one. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, you know. I think that's better than Stephen A's personally, but, you know, whatever.
not 20,000?
No.
Yeah, I would have.
Yeah, it was like 55.
I'll give it a retweet. I'll throw it in a retweet, see what happens.
Look it up and down, yeah.
Let's get Richie and Bluebell. Actually, Richie, real quick, I don't want to leave people hanging with this because I teased the tie-in to Bryce Harper. Tony Romo is just saying everything that happens before it happens. Bryce Harper himself took to Twitter last night to say, quote, confirmed, just called Tony Romo to see where I'm going to play baseball next year. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know Tony Romo?
Say the Phillies, Tony.
They probably said Philadelphia.
I hope so.
You know why? Because Tony Romo owes it to us.
Day 81 of MLB offseason watch. In case you lost track.
How did anyone beat a team that had Tony Romo and Jason Witten on the same team?
Miracle.
Yeah. My God. One guy that can see the future and one guy that is the past, present, and future.
Yeah,
I don't know, Bob. I don't know. Richie and Bluebell, sorry about that, buddy. What's up?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I'm calling about the cornhole tournament.
Super Hall. Do you have a team registered?
Yes, we do.
What is your team name?
The Cornpranos.
I like that.
The Corn
Tanos.
Pranos? Like Sopranos?
Yeah, the Cornpranos.
Okay, Cornpranos. Okay.
What's the matter for you, huh?
I don't know how that one might have gotten missed. Let me review. Let me go through it, and I'll double check. So you didn't get an email from us or anything?
No.
All right.
But we are the defending 2017 Pennsylvania State Champions.
Really?
Yes.
So would you say that you guys could potentially be ringers?
We're not ringers, but we're good.
Well, you sound like you're pretty damn good.
Well, yeah. We're very good, yes.
All right, well, so
Richie sounds a little pissed off.
Yeah,
too,
he's a little offended.
Say.
Like, I'm a little afraid. Tell somebody, Cornprano, I can't, you're not in.
Yeah, I just figured you guys would reach out to some teams that have good competition and all, you know.
Is your last name Aprio? Nothing, never. Sopranos joke.
Richie, do you feel, why, other than being really good, why, what else would you bring to the table being in this tournament?
Humor.
And there you go.
Casey, Jimmy buffeted you.
Yeah, Richie, here's what I'm going to take we're going to put you on hold. We're going to get your info. I'm going to just run it through the database, right? And we'll see if we can't get you involved because I like it.
What did he say? Humor?
Humor.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm funny.
I don't know if you ever heard of the Seinfeld guy. Nothing compared to my jokes.
You see this? You hear about this?
Yeah. Yeah. What's the deal with Cornpranos? I knew exactly where it was going with that. 610-632-0975. Let's get Elijah in South Philly. What's up, Elijah?
Morning, fellas.
Hey.
Good morning.
First of all, greatest athlete of all time is still Michael Jordan.
I still got to go MJ.
You know what look, you can make excuses for why he quit basketball for those 2 years, and you can make the argument that obviously he would have won two championships and all two more championships for eight total, which would have been incredible. And he had different teams throughout those runs, still Scottie Pippen by his side, the whole thing, but there was still some turnover there, and there was still a super team that was formed for those last three titles. Rodman was on for the last three, wasn't he? Or is he on the last two?
I think the last three.
The Patriots still runs a little okay without Tom Brady. They still go and win without Tom. Like, he's been injured, and they haven't missed a beat sometimes.
Well, they missed the playoffs the year he was injured, even though they won 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also want to go to the Andy Reid argument. I would really like for Andy to do this draft for us if we had the option. Some of the elite talent he's put on the offensive side of the field between the Eagles and the Chiefs is amazing. And I think this has to be a really big offensive draft for us. And out of all the picks, I need at least one player in the next 2 years that we draft right now in this top 10 league position.
I didn't hear. What was the first part of that question, Elijah?
I was saying I would love for Andy Reid to draft this draft, and out of anybody we pick, I need a top 10 player in his position within the next 2 years that we draft this year.
Oh, like, definitely. My hope would be running back.
Yeah, we need a Tyreek Hill or a DeSean Jackson, a Michael Thomas, Kamara. We need somebody at the top of the game. That we draft. I know Jamie, because Jamie said you can get the Stills and the Anderson and everything, but I don't need a Still. Maybe with the eighth pick or ninth pick, but the first pick, I need somebody who's the best player in the draft or the fastest player in the draft. I need somebody that we know, like Saquon Barkley, is going to be a great player. No messing around with first one or two picks. You get the known commodity, and then you get a Still later in the rounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm hoping that's the case, and I think we've all gone around and said in the second round with one of their picks in the second round, they're going to go ahead and get a running back. Hopefully it's somebody that can fit that that resume that you just described. Cowboy Kenny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Cowboy Kenny?
Oh, man, I thought I was only Cowboy Kenny when we battled each other. I'm just Kenny right now.
No, it's year-round.
All right, I'll take that. But look, what do y'all think? Do y'all think that the Rams are going to just come walking in, just knock my man over and take what he got? Or you think that this Tom Brady guy is going to do the impossible, man? To me, what he's doing is more than impossible.
Yeah, I would say I would say that the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not the best, and I got to watch my mouth out, man, as soon as I say this. If he's not the best quarterback ever, then who is? I mean, nobody's done what he's done, man. I mean, you know, all those Super Bowls, even win or lose, he got there. You know, so he's got to be the best quarterback, man. I hate to admit that. And another thing, I hate to admit, y'all put me in a tough spot where I have to defend Tony Romo.
Why is that?
I can't stand Tony Romo as a quarterback, man. He to me, he was awful. He caused me a lot of heartache.
Wow.
Yeah, he did. He took a lot of victories from me. I mean, he did do that. So, but as an announcer, whatever you want to call him, he's great. I love him to death. I mean, he's excellent, and he seems like he's enjoying the game, too.
Yeah, he's great.
He's really enjoying it. So, I love him way more at what he's doing now than I ever did as him a quarterback. Man, I couldn't stand him, man. He lost a lot of games for Dallas, man, that we had won. You know, so you ask Chris Canty about that. You know, this guy was, you know, he was a disaster sometimes. He could look like the best quarterback in one play, and then the worst quarterback ever in the very next play.
All right, cool. Kenny, who do you have winning the Super Bowl?
Oh, man, that's another tough position. How do you bet against Brady?
Yeah, so are you saying the Patriots?
No, I'm going to root for the Rams because the NFC.
Well, so am I, but
I'm not going to put no money on it. So I wouldn't bet against Brady.
All right, thanks for the call, Kenny. You putting money on this, Trey?
Well, I already did.
What'd you go with, guys?
I picked the Rams a long time ago. They take it all the way.
How long ago? That was like the second preseason game.
Yeah, like around
the
second, third preseason game.
Oh, what are those odds?
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
So I just been sitting, waiting, you know, just seeing. I just going
to
play.
You might have to hedge a little bit.
But now that they're playing the Patriots, yeah. I'm like, yeah.
So what do you do in this scenario?
load up on the Patriots, I'm thinking.
Yeah, head yourself.
Yeah, I think I'm going to load up on the Patriots.
I said during the 5 o'clock hour today, and I heard you yell from the other room, is Tom Brady really going to lose 2 Super Bowls in a row?
No.
There
you go. Absolutely not.
Hedge away, my friend.
Oh, yeah, I am. I am.
I hate saying one affects the other. But one really affects the other here. The fact that they lost last year, now they're going up against a young team like the Rams, and he's going up against... I mean, I know they're not on the field at the same time, but seeing a young buck like a guy like Jared Goff, yeah, he won't go out there and he's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen. Mike and Del Ran, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
All right.
Hey, so this will end the discussion here. The guy's been in the league 17 years. He's been in 13 AFC championship games. Enough said. That's gross.
Yeah.
That is absolutely disgusting.
About to play in his ninth Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, when I saw that last night, 17 years, 13 AFC championship games, that's insane. Tony Romo's awesome. I'm waiting for him to, like, drop curses on air. Like, he just watches the game so excited, like a fan. I love it. I'm with Bob. I can watch. I can listen to him all day. Andy Reid? Man, that sucks. I was rooting for Andy. I was in the midst of 15 to 20 Patriot fans this night in this bar with my wife and her family. They're all Patriot fans. And I'm sitting there secretly rooting for Andy Reid. I'm not trying to be a jerk in there, right? And how do you not call a single timeout that overtime when your defense is getting torched? Like, give him a second to breathe, Andy. Like, you, I don't know, man. I'm telling
you.
Yeah,
Jim Nantz brought that up, right, Mike? Jim Nantz brought it up, and Romo said that's an excellent point because you could tell they were gassed.
Yeah, they were gassed.
Yeah, it's just, you know, Andy Reid is destined to not win a Super Bowl. And then the last thing, the officiating. We've been talking about it all year, and it's getting worse every day, right? That Saints game, just egregious. It's just, I'm calling out of work if I'm a Saints fan. I'm going up to the offices for the football, and I'm protesting. This morning, I'm sitting at a red light. I see a nice little old lady walk across the street. I get out of the car. I go try to help her. I put my arm around her. All of a sudden, a official comes out of nowhere. Bang! I just roughed the passer. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That, you know, that roughing the passer on Tom Brady yesterday, ridiculous. The next call, the non-pass interference call, ridiculous. Like, it's getting worse every week, and these are huge games. But, you know, hey, whatever. I'll see you guys at Super Bowl. Go, man!
There you go, Mike. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Yeah, coming up, we'll let you hear from both Drew Brees and Sean Payton after that loss last night and the non-pass interference call. Which, look, as a guy that was rooting for the Rams in that game, and more so just rooting against the Saints,
mm-hmm.
I love that they got robbed. I hate the Saints right now. I hate the Saints. For everything that happened after the Eagles win and running up the score on the Eagles and playing dreams and nightmares in the locker room and the ski mask and trolling the Eagles after they beat them, to me, I wanted them to lose so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they lost in this fashion makes it just so much more enjoyable for me personally. And I think a lot of Eagles fans that wanted to see the Saints get it stuck to them. We'll let you hear what it was like for them to lose that game last night with Drew Brees and Sean Payton commenting on the non-pass interference call that really, as some people might say, just probably did cost them the game. That's what's coming up here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas with you on the updates. Saints lost to the Rams in dramatic fashion, 26-23. Saints fans feeling as if they were robbed. And you know what? We would feel robbed here in Philadelphia, too, if this happened to us. No pass interference call.
Yep.
Now, in fairness, the Rams could have had a flag for a face mask penalty that would have given them, the Rams, a reset of downs on the 1 yard line against the Saints, where they had an opportunity, I believe, to go up. I think it would have been 24 to 20. It would have been, but the refs didn't call it that way, and the rest is history. So the Saints get the ball back. They go down the field. There's an opportunity for the Rams to really almost clinch it for themselves. and get the interception. And it didn't happen. Ted Ginn Jr. ended up coming down with a 43-yard reception right at the two-minute warning. Joyner, the defensive back for the Rams, had an opportunity to either just knock the ball loose or jump in front and get the interception. Did not do it. So now the Saints have an opportunity to score, get a touchdown, or go in front with a field goal. They're not able to do it. And part of that is in thanks to two things. One, conservative play calling all of a sudden by Sean Payton. And the other, a non-call of a blatant pass interference, and everybody's talking about it today. No pass interference call on an attempted Tommy Lee Lewis reception from Drew Brees, and the penalty should have been on Nickell Robey-Coleman. So after the game, Drew Brees gets asked about this very controversial call. I know it's on my Twitter feed. It seems like it's on every NFL fan's Twitter feed and timeline this morning. But if you haven't seen it yet, go ahead and check that out. But here is Drew Brees being asked about that controversial call after the game.
There was plenty of, I felt like, opportunities for us offensively that we didn't take advantage of. And so we knew this was going to be a battle. We knew it was going to come down to the wire. Felt like there were some more plays that we could have made. So regardless of a call or no call, or I felt like there were other opportunities for us that I wish we could have taken advantage of.
If you go all the way back to the Saints' first possession, they dropped the touchdown in the end zone. Mm-hmm. It was a touchdown, man. And their tight end couldn't come away with it. So then you go back a little bit later in the game, and they couldn't get this done towards the end to really seal the deal for themselves to make it into the Super Bowl. So then after the game, Sean Payton was also asked about his explanation that he received from the league.
It was simple. They blew the call. Should never have not been a call. They said not only was it interference, it was helmet to helmet. We spoke initially, then I called to follow up, and first thing Al said when I got on the phone, we messed it up.
And admitted
I don't
mess up.
Believe you.
You think he's exaggerating?
I don't think there's any situation where the league goes, "Yep, we were wrong." You're right, Sean. You guys got hosed.
Well, did the league take enough heat from around the league, from around the country, in getting it wrong?
Even if they know they're wrong, they're not going to admit to being wrong.
Well, no. They've admitted they've been wrong in the past. They've admitted. I mean,
but that's a monumental situation to get wrong.
Absolutely.
That's a really bad look.
But the officiating committee has come out with rulings in the past that say, oh, this was the wrong call on the field. It should have been this. Nothing changes from it. I mean, they might dock an NFL. They might get rid. They might write up their official saying, "All right, you got this one wrong," because after all, they did let go of an official earlier this year.
Right.
So there's plenty of situations where they have admitted that they were wrong. There's only two games. This was the only game going on at the time. So I totally would see a scenario where the NFL would admit that they made it wrong.
I'd be shocked.
I don't know if it's as blatant as Sean Payton put it.
Yeah, probably. Well, definitely not.
Or blunt, I should say. As blunt as Sean Payton put it.
He makes it sound like he walked into the locker room and somebody was holding a phone. Oh, yeah. Here, Sean, they want to talk to you.
Yeah, they want to tell you how wrong they were.
So I talked to him first, we hung up, and then I had to call him back again because I wasn't sure about something, and then they said, I'm sorry, not only was one thing wrong, two things were wrong.
They also made it seem like they were kissing his feet, too, and his ass after that game. 610-632-0975, but here's the part we haven't played for you yet. What about the guy that was the winner? What about the guy that got away scot-free from this? Well, Nickell Robey-Coleman had a media session after the game. Here it is, about 50 seconds of Nickell with the media.
I thought it was for a split second, but, you know, Darrell got up. You know, when I got up, he said incomplete, so I just was like, thank you. Like,
you said for a split second you thought it was going to get called on?
Yeah.
Why was that?
Because I didn't look back at the ball.
Uh-huh.
I didn't play the ball. If I would have played the ball, then it would have been a different story. But since I just went straight to him, and when I seen his hands go up and I hit him, I just heard the crowd go crazy, and I was like, oh, this is a flag. And then I got up, he said incomplete. I was like, oh.
So what do you think?
And then the ref said, like, a low-key was a tip. Like, it was, like, tip. So I was just like, okay, cool. Like,
so what do you say to all those Saints fans who said that flag should have been called? If it was, they could have run out the clock.
Hey, Saints fans, I'm sorry, but it is what it is. You heard what the ref said. The ref said it was incomplete. Respect the call.
Exactly.
There's no denying that's what you have to do if you're playing in the game. You have to respect the referee's call. Doesn't mean you have to like it. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it. But that's the call on the field. Will anybody remember the face mask in 20 years?
No.
Will anybody remember the face mask in 5 years?
No.
Will anybody remember the pass interference call next year?
Yeah.
Will they remember it in five?
Oh, yeah.
Will they remember it in 20?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to go down in New Orleans sports lore forever. Leon Stickle.
Just like the pass last year against Minnesota.
Isn't that fun?
Isn't it?
Another
two of the worst ways to lose a game. One was on you. Maybe the other one was on somebody else.
Another shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Michael, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Michael? Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, hey. I mean, listen, man, he has a really big missed call there. But there's a lot of calls that are missed. You know, you referred to one of them. What was the face mask on Jared Goff? There was two delayed game penalties that weren't called. I mean, the Saints were, you know, I think it was second and goal. No time on the play clock. The refs didn't call that delay a game. There's also one on the Rams 30. And then Dalvin Sue, actually, they showed him during the play pointing to the clock, and they still snapped the ball, didn't give him that call. So it was a lot of plays. Obviously, the biggest one's going to get the biggest story on there. But and just to sum it up, I mean, this whole year has been piss poor officiating, this whole year. And unfortunately, it sucks to come down to that specific play and lose the game that way, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what it comes down to for a lot of teams. But, I mean, I really like Drew Brees' attitude after the game, because he acknowledged that they have plays that they left on the field, plays they should have made, but for whatever reason failed to do it.
Correct, guys. Hey, thank you for taking my call, guys.
Absolutely. Right, no problem. Yeah, I mean, Trey, that's the attitude you have to have as a player, right?
Yeah, that's all you can do. I mean, you know, did that play make or break the game? Maybe. No, it did not. I mean, if it was a blowout, then, you know, you don't worry about it. I mean, you know, there are plays that they left on the field. There are plays that where they got away with certain things. I mean, it just is what it is. It's give and take. But you can't sit up there and harp on it. You know, you just have to let it go and move forward.
The irony of it all is that during the regular season, we see so many penalties. And it kills us because it slows down a game. Players don't know how they're supposed to play, whatever it may be. Then they get to the playoffs, and national pundits, everyone has said it, they call less penalties during the playoffs because they want the games to move. Mm-hmm. Okay, you call less. Like yesterday, both games had 10 penalties. That's not bad. That's okay. But the biggest thing is the one that wasn't called. You know, it's not a call that was made. It's one that wasn't made that determines the factor in the game.
Absolutely. You're listening to 97.5, The Fanatic WP in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hours brought to you by the Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. Now, something was brought to my attention, some unfortunate news. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke to Jay. 2 weeks ago, we spoke to Jay. Jay was a guy in the video on Instagram that we had him on the show, and he's the guy that blew Cody Parkey's kick left.
Oh, yeah.
Off the yes, cross to the upright, right? So the Eagles won that game. We talked to Jay, funny dude. He listens to the show. He's a fan of the program. He hit me up with some sad news. His friend Scott from Mayfair, also a listener to the station, a fan of the show, passed away suddenly. So I just wanted to give some respect.
Sorry to hear
that. Yeah, I wanted to give some respect to a loyal listener and a friend of the show, Scott from Mayfair. Our best to your family.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.